Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Working Class History: Everyday Acts of Resistance and Rebellion is a non-fiction history collection compiled by the Working Class History Collective and introduced by Noam Chomsky. Rather than centering presidents, generals, or major institutions, the book reframes history through the actions of ordinary people who resisted exploitation, colonialism, racism, and workplace domination. Its structure is based on calendar days, with two short entries for each day of the year, making it part reference work, part anthology, and part activist resource. The content draws on labor struggles, anti-colonial uprisings, strikes, protests, and other forms of collective action across different regions and eras. The book's purpose is both educational and interpretive. It preserves lesser-known episodes of dissent while arguing that social change is driven from below. Because of its daily format and concise entries, it is designed for browsing and incremental reading rather than linear study. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a calendar of resistance that turns history into a daily practice. The most distinctive feature of the book is its day-by-day structure. Instead of organizing history by nation, dynasty, or major event, it offers two acts of resistance or rebellion for each calendar day. This format matters because it changes the reader's relationship to historical knowledge. The book is meant to be opened repeatedly, not consumed as a single continuous narrative. That design reflects the Working Class History Project's social media origins, where brief, shareable stories could reach wide audiences quickly. In book form, the same method creates a compact archive of struggle that is easy to revisit and use as a starting point for discussion. The daily structure also reinforces the idea that resistance is continuous, not exceptional. Readers encounter different places, eras, and movements side by side, which helps prevent anyone's struggle from being treated as isolated or unique. The result is a history book that functions more like a rotating map of dissent than a single argument with a linear storyline. Secondly, working class history defined broadly beyond unions and factories. The book uses working class in a deliberately expansive way. It includes industrial workers and unions. But it also recognizes that class struggle appears in many other settings among migrants, indigenous communities, women, disabled people, LGBTQ people, home workers, the unemployed, and people of color. This broader definition is important because it challenges the narrow idea that labor history is only about formal workplaces or collective bargaining. The book instead treats resistance as any organized push against exploitation, exclusion, or coercion in everyday life. That approach helps connect battles over wages and conditions to struggles over land, bodily autonomy, racial violence, and colonial domination. By placing these forms of resistance under the same historical lens, the book argues that social power operates across institutions, not just in the workplace. It also corrects the common tendency for mainstream history to marginalize groups whose labor has often been invisible or undervalued. In that sense, the book is not only documenting events, it is redefining who counts as a historical actor. Thirdly, hidden histories recovered from labor, anti-colonial, and social movements. A major purpose of the book is recovery. It brings together episodes that are often absent from standard textbooks or remembered only in simplified form. The examples highlighted in the available material show the range of this recovery work: Caribbean slave revolts that contributed to abolition in the British Caribbean, the unionization of exotic dancers at the Lusty Lady Club in San Francisco, and many other lesser-known actions across time and geography. These examples illustrate that the book is interested in both large structural struggles and smaller, localized acts of organizing. That balance is significant because it suggests that history changes not only through famous revolutions, but also through persistent, practical resistance by ordinary people. The book's compact entries do not attempt exhaustive analysis of each event. Instead, they restore visibility to struggles that would otherwise remain buried. This makes the work especially valuable as a source of historical discovery. Readers are encouraged to see familiar themes, such as labor conflict, slavery, and emancipation, from the standpoint of participants rather than elites or official institutions. Fourthly, an activist reference book built for education, not just commemoration. The book is clearly shaped by activist purposes. It is meant to educate readers about the long history of resistance and to provide usable inspiration for present-day organizing. That purpose is visible in the tone of the promotional material and in the way the entries are framed as lessons from the past. The book does not present history as a closed archive. Instead, it treats earlier movements as part of an ongoing tradition that can inform current struggles. Because the entries are concise and varied, the book works well as a reference tool for organizers, students, and readers who want accessible examples of collective action. At the same time, the book avoids reducing past struggles to slogans. It reminds readers that gains in rights and conditions were usually won through sacrifice, conflict, and persistence. This gives the book practical value. It can help contextualize contemporary debates about labor rights, protest, and social justice without requiring specialist training. Its educational function is therefore inseparable from its political orientation. Lastly, a mosaic of short forms that prioritizes accessibility over full-length argument, the book's strengths are closely tied to its form, but that form also creates limits. Because each day contains brief entries, the book is highly accessible and easy to navigate, especially for readers who want small portions of history at a time. It benefits from an illustrated, digestible style that suits modern attention patterns and makes obscure material approachable. However, the same format can feel repetitive when read straight through, since the structure intentionally repeats across the full year. This means the book is better understood as a browsing resource, a daily reader, or a companion volume than as a continuous historical narrative. That trade-off is important because it distinguishes the book from more traditional labor histories that develop long arguments and detailed case studies. Instead of depth in one place, it offers breadth across many places and periods. The design makes historical memory more democratic and more portable, even if it sacrifices some analytical elaboration. In practice, that tension is part of the book's identity rather than a flaw to be ignored. In conclusion, Working Class History, Everyday Acts of Resistance and Rebellion is best suited to readers who want a broad, accessible, and politically conscious introduction to labor and grassroots history. Activists, union members, students, teachers, and general readers interested in social movements will benefit most from its concise format and wide historical range. It offers practical value by supplying examples of struggle that can inform current organizing, and intellectual value by challenging the standard idea that history is made mainly by elites. Compared with conventional labor histories, it stands out for its calendar-based structure, its international scope, and its commitment to including groups often left out of official narratives. The book is not a deep archival monograph, nor does it aim to provide exhaustive analysis of each event. Its strength lies in selection, framing, and accessibility. It turns dispersed episodes of resistance into a readable public history project. For readers who want a reference book that is both informative and usable, and for those who prefer history presented as a living record of collective action, this volume offers a distinct and worthwhile approach. If you would like to support Working Class History, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.